Are you tired of scrambling for math activities that are engaging and easy to implement? With my Kindergarten Math for the Whole Year bundle, you'll have everything you need to support your students all year long learning math. This bundle includes math games, centers, and small group activities designed to keep your students engaged while reinforcing key math concepts. Whether you're teaching numbers, shapes, or simple operations, you'll have ready-to-use resources for every skill. Stop stressing about planning and start focusing on what matters, helping your students succeed in math. Grab your Kindergarten Math for the Whole Year bundle today and transform your math instruction. You can check it all out at www.kindergartencafe.org/math. kindergartencafe.org/math. Hey, teacher friends, it's Ziba from Kindergarten Cafe, and I have two teacher questions today for the episode all about addition and two different ends of the spectrum of addition. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. The first question about addition says, "Hi Ziba, I could really use your advice. My class just isn't getting addition. They can count objects, but when we start talking about adding, they look totally lost and they're just not understanding what addition actually means. I feel like I'm missing a step somewhere." Okay. First of all, this happens all the time when we jump from we're working on counting to we're working on addition. And a lot of times that's because we go from like the concrete right in front of us of real objects, like counting objects, to the abstract of different like story problems, right? A lot of times when we work on addition, we work with story problems. So we'll say, I have 4 red apples and 2 green apples. How many apples do I have altogether? But we don't actually have apples right in front of the kids. And we usually encourage them to draw the picture of the apples, use the colors, right? Draw circles. And it just sometimes for some kids is too abstract that they have trouble making that jump and they get very lost about with addition and subtraction, right? Because we're too abstract. So the first starting place I would say is using tangible objects for them. So not just encouraging kids to draw, but also offering counters on the table and 5 frames, 10 frames, whatever you've been, a tool that the kids are familiar with. So I would put out a 10 frame and I would have different color cubes. They don't have to be exactly like the story, right? But it doesn't hurt to have it be exactly the story. Okay, so I have 4, I don't remember the exact scenario. I have 4 green apples. All right, let's put out 4 of this color. And then I have 2 red apples. Okay, let's put out 2 of a different color. All right, how many apples are there all together? Well, let's count all the cubes. And so we can start with 1, 2, like start with 1 and then keep going on. And I think this is a really good place to start. I think adding in the 10 frame and the physical object will really help make the connection from this abstract story problem to what addition means of we're adding 2 groups together. Right. And you could even show 4 on one side, 2 on the other, and then you put them into the 10 frame. So count out the 4 first, then count out the 2, and then put them in the 10 frame all together. Right. I think that's a big help. The second thing is that I've noticed the kids that like really struggle with addition, even after this, what I've observed is that what I see them doing is they say, well, it's 4 and 2. They're not getting that it's all one total amount. They're not getting that like idea of total, right? And so for that, I would just keep modeling for them of counting all One, two, three, four, five, six. There are six cubes. And forget the apple scenario, right? Just focus on like how many all together. Oh, I know some are green and some are red, but there are six cubes. Let's count all the cubes and then start from one and count all the cubes. And I think what's really telling with kids like this is when you do activities like with dice, with two dice, and you work on doing just even like a roll and trace activity with numbers up to 12 or like a roll and cover activity, what they'll do is they'll count one dice and then they'll count another dice separately. And so you need to work with them repeatedly on, no, we'll count this dice first and then we keep counting. So there's five. So start with one. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, let's keep counting. This dice has two, six, seven. Because it's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, right? And so there's seven dots all together. And you can even squish the dice together and you can show them there's seven dots all together and just count from one. And I think you have to be very explicit about it, really break it down and do it, model it for them a lot over and over and over again. But I think that's kind of the sticking point, is being so used to working in the concrete and then jumping right to the abstract. That's a hard transition. And so giving them concrete objects is important, but also making sure they understand the concept of all together, total. Like, that's confusing for some kids. And so modeling it for them, you might have to model it for them for a little while to get like, okay, we're talking about all the cubes together. Even if they're different colors, that's okay. So then what I would do is I wouldn't just worry about like, can they write an addition sentence or can they, whatever. I would break it down to, can they figure out how many all together with different things? So if you're doing a problem with the class about, you know, I have two oranges and, or I have two, they're whatever. Whatever the problem is with the class, like there's two oranges and three bananas. How many fruits do I have all together? Okay. Then see if you have an example of two orange cubes and three yellow cubes. Or I actually am thinking about this example because I have actual mini fruit counters. Okay. Can I find two oranges and three bananas? And then put them all on the 10 frame, right? And say how many all together. And count all together and just have that be the focus and not worry about addition plus like all of that. Break it down for them on the idea of together and total amount. Start with that. And then let me know how it goes and we can move on from there for what's next. But definitely concrete object, counting materials and tools like 10 frames would be a good place to start and focusing in on total amount. Okay, so that was the addition, the first addition problem. And then on the other side of the spectrum, I got an email that said, hi, we have an advanced math group in kindergarten this year. These kids can already count past 100 and do simple addition and subtraction. Our kindergarten teacher is struggling to figure out what to give them that's challenging but still meaningful. We don't just want to hand them extra worksheets. Do you have ideas for adding depth or enrichment? So for like extension problems, the first thing that I would make sure that I'm asking of these students is making sure that they can explain their thinking and their work, right? Can they actually explain why 5 plus 6 is 11, right? Yes, they might know that, but off the top of their head, they might have that memorized, but it's still important that they know how to explain it to someone else or to show why it's 11, right? And so working with them on using pictures, 10 frames, objects, like words, explaining it with their words too, of why they know that 5 plus 6 equals 11. So that's the first thing, is not just being like, oh, great, you did that problem really fast and you already know the answers. No, hold them accountable and have them explain why that works, how they figured that out. And don't just let them say, oh, because I just know it. Okay. How do you know it? Do you know that 5 plus 5 is 10 and so one more would be 11? Like, tell us how you figured it out so quickly. How did you know it? Or do you know that knowing doubles and then using that to help you understand, like adding one more is a common strategy? Rearranging to get 10, like, is a common strategy? I'm just trying to think of things you can model for them, but you want them to be able to explain how they figured it out. And it might just be with pictures and be like, I know it works because I know that if you fill up the 10 frame and then you have one more, that's 11. Things like that. The other strategies that I would recommend is taking, like, if you give a problem, a math problem to the class, an addition problem to the class that says, okay, you have, like, what was the example I gave before? You have 3 oranges and 2 bananas. How many fruits all together? Okay, so the kids figure out there's 5 fruits. Have the kids that figure that out without having to think about it, have them make a new problem that has the same answer. Okay, well, what's another problem that could still be 5 fruits? Or, and then share it with a friend. Or show me all the ways that we could have 5 fruits. How many oranges and how many bananas? What are all the ways, all the combinations we could get to make 5 fruits? So that's one way, is like, on the back, make your own problem up and then give it to a friend to solve. I love doing that with, I'm having kids that are finishing at different times. The other thing that I would do with that group of students, maybe separately, is more logic puzzles as a way to work on their problem solving skills, but that don't necessarily progress them in the content knowledge. So to recap, you make sure to work on the practice standards of math with them. By that, I mean, like, explaining their thinking or showing, you know, showing them their thinking with tools or something like that. If they have the content standards, you can focus on those practice standards. The other thing you can do is work on having them do a little higher level thinking with their work of making their own problem or looking for more combinations or looking for more ways to solve the problem. And then the other option is, at a separate time, giving them more logic-based puzzles. A couple of the resources that I love to use with students for those logic puzzles are KenKens. You can get KenKens online that are just addition and subtraction versions, or even just addition versions. But the idea is, it's like Sudoku, where they're filling in the numbers in the row and the columns and they can't overlap, but they have to add or subtract to the total amount that's listed in the box. So, like, if there's a box that has 2 squares around it and it says 3 minus, it means that the 2 numbers have to subtract to equal 3. Or 3 plus, it means the 2 numbers have to add to be 3, which means it's going to be a 1 and a 2. But the order depends on which box the other, you know, each, you can't have any repeating numbers in the rows or the columns. I hope this is making sense. You have to see it. You have to try it. It's, think about it like Sudoku, but with this extra added on puzzle. But KenKens are a great sort of logic puzzle for kids. There's also really good resources on tangmath.com, Greg Tang Math, that are really good logic puzzles. And I recommend those to families or do those with kids in groups with me. And they have some games that kids can play online. And so you can do that or recommend it to families. So that's another great for kids that are looking for more extension kind of activities. I also recommend to families for kids like this to look into bedtime math books because they're really good story problems that kids can talk about. And their whole point is, like, why should it always be, you know, reading books before bed? Why can't we do math before bed? I think that's their whole thing anyway. But I like to, you know, use it with families of, like, these are great kind of problems that really get kids thinking. Other kinds of books that you can do that really focus on the practice standards of, like, explaining thinking and being flexible and looking for patterns and things like that. Not just books, but, like, activities in general, is a which one doesn't belong activity or how many. And there are books that go along with these by Christopher Danielson, but there's also a lot of resources online that you can show as a whole class. They're good warm-ups, good closings, but the kids can kind of take it and go with it at their level. Like, all the kids at all different levels can participate, which is something great about it. But the kids that are ready for more can do more looking for patterns with numbers or counting more things or adding things up together. Like, they can, it's really good to meet them where they are, as well as the kids that are more like the student we talked about at the beginning of the episode, where they're not getting addition. Like, they can also participate. So I like those resources, but really encouraging kids to explain their thinking is important. And then, okay, we talked about Greg Tang already with his math resources, but he also has books. And one of them I like is Math for All Seasons or Math Terpieces. And again, all kids can participate, but kids that are really ready for it can see a lot more and do a lot more with it. So I think that those are good places to start. So when I have students that are already solving addition and subtraction problems easily, they're even doing some multiplication, I don't focus on teaching them more content. I do logic puzzles. I focus on problem solving. I focus on being flexible with numbers, finding different solutions. Okay, you found one solution. Now find me some more solutions. Write me another problem that has the same answer. Really encouraging them to not just do a problem and be done with it, but be flexible, persistent, and then focus on those practice standards of explaining their thinking, sharing their thinking with others. And that's really important. But yeah, so we've got both sides of the spectrum here with addition and lots of resources to help. So if you are looking for more math support, kindergartencafe.org/math has every podcast episode blog post I've done. So you can definitely check that out. And all my resources are there for you to take a look at. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.